Welcome to another in-location version of In the Garden. I'm your host, Kelly Casey, and I am so pleased that I finally tracked down this local Hastings icon. And I do say that because I have known about this lady for so long, and I've never had the chance to do an interview with her, and I am so pleased to finally have that right now. And that subject is Bea Westerberg. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad you could come out. It's a beautiful morning. It's not a million degrees or it's not raining. So welcome to I'm calling it my little ranchette here and just outside of Hastings. In fact, I used to be able to see the water tower better than most of the people that live in town. So
you have a perfect location. And when we're recording this, it's a beautiful summer morning. And I don't think that there's anything that can be more underrated than a beautiful Minnesota summer morning.
I totally agree. And I am actually very happy to be here. My life has been turned upside down at least three or four times in the last, not even in the last year. So things are very different for me. I'm winging it on my own here, but I have two neighbors that are angels and a great backup of friends. And it's so interesting to see how much pleasure one can get from just a single plant. So never underestimate if you have thousands of plants, or if you just have that one. They're all magic.
They are. And I want to talk a little bit about your previous magic that you have been sharing with people for forever. And if you remember or recognize the name Bea Westerberg, you'll probably associate it with the Hastings Farm Market. Bea, how did that start?
Okay, the farm market actually is like, it's getting almost close to, believe it, 40 years in existence. It was started at the co-op downtown, now where the Oliver's Grove is. That used to be a barren parking lot. And right next to it was the Spiral Food Co-op. And Margaret Chamberlain and a few of the other local ladies, and some of them are still around, established their dream, the co-op there. And Margaret's dream was to have a farm market there. And we started off, I think, with three different people that were there. Then we had to move. We moved to where the heating and cooling place is. Then we moved to out at where the original Walmart was. And then we got lucky and got our space where we have it now. And it is wonderful. It's said that we've got the best parking spot of any farm market in the state of Minnesota, folks, so you can come and shop there. So then Margaret, of course, when she was not there, and then when I was designated to kind of take over, it was all guys and me, and then the guys decided that I could talk and walk, so they didn't want to talk to these other people to get spaces to sell. So that's how I got to be that, and then we started to have little rules that weren't really too big of a rules, but we ended up having a four-page contract in the end, which an attorney viewed later and said, "Wow, which attorney did you have write this?" And I said, "Well, it was moi." So,
well, you wanted to cover all your bases because it's really important when you're interacting with the public and when you're providing especially an edible product that you make sure that there's certain standards that are set.
Yes, and we wanted to have a very unique, diverse, very friendly, but yet keep it very local. Everything that has to be grown or made, our solution right now, we've got a very wide solution of items for you to come shop for. You can have corn, you can have the okra, beautiful flowers, which I have a lot here from our flower person, and it's just wonderful things. Great Harvest, I didn't think Great Harvest was going to be accepted by our area because their prices were, let's just put it this way, a teeny bit higher than the regular grocery store.
Premium.
premium. But oh my gosh, you guys, you local people, embraced it, and you have the option of ordering your own, whatever you need, and they'll just bring it to the market, and then mm-hmm. you can pick it up. Mm-hmm. So it's divine. And right now, we're praying for rain for everyone.
Everyone is.
Everyone. The sweet corn production is way down. Mm-hmm. The McNamara sold out within an hour or so on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So usually they've got another truck to come, but they are not doing it because they just didn't have enough, and it's slow. So pray for rain, if nothing else. Pray for rain.
We really need to do that. Again, we're talking with Bea Westerberg, and we're here looking a little bit at the behind the scenes of what it takes to manage a farm market and the history behind the Hastings Farm Market. And tell us again, when does that appear magically like Camelot in the Westview parking lot?
Yes. I actually, after I would say 30-some years, decided that we needed to have that great experience with someone else. Luann McNamara, you probably know her as the Corn Lady. She's doing a marvelous job of being the active manager. And it's on Tuesdays and on Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be there till Halloween, the end of October. So, we're very seasonal. We don't do the bananas and those other things, but, you know, pumpkins will be about the last thing at the end. But right now, the tomatoes are just starting to come in, so...
It must be all that heat.
It has to be the heat. Yes, it does. They're just coming in. And I had some wonderful basil. I'm writing about that, in fact, in today's article. I'll write about my basil sandwich that I made with the grilled cheese and so forth. So.
And speaking of that article, Bea can most often be found in the Hastings paper. And tell us a little bit about your literary background, too, Bea. How did you combine your love of growing with growing words on the written page?
Okay, well, we'll start way back when I grew up in central Minnesota and my mom and dad farmed and my mom had a huge, huge garden. And of course, she didn't have much time to take care of it because she was almost more active in the farming than my dad. And I hated it. I mean, I hated it. I was praying to move into the city where you wouldn't have to fire wood, pick rocks, or garden. So it was a safer number of years. I lusted to be out. I got married with my wonderful husband and we lived in Lake City and the gardening bug came back. Oh my God. Gosh, where did this come from? I thought I was
when you don't have to, maybe it becomes more palatable.
I think so, because I had my life. I didn't have to do a darn thing to get anything. The place, in order, we hired somebody to do the lawn, for gosh sake, so much we really, neither one of us were into gardening. And then all of a sudden, it came, and I did this little tiny garden. It was probably about 4 feet by 4 feet in Lake City. We moved to Hastings, and I probably upped it to 6 foot by 6 foot. And then in 1986, we went crazy and made a wild decision at that time to buy the Chamberlain Pony Farm. Those of you who have lived in the area know about this wonderful place to do different things, and it's got immense, immense history. And we thought, oh, we'll whip the shape in about 2 years. Well, that is not dead, but it's dreams, so keep on dreaming. And we just kind of started off. We found the area where they had the garden, and we worked it up, and then we worked at it, and we just went totally bonkers because I had about 2 acres of vegetables. We had a big raspberry patch, a big blueberry patch. We had an orchard, and then I baked about 70 to 80 loaves of bread for Saturday market, a little bit less for Tuesdays, and I made literally thousands and thousands of jams and jelly. So I kind of put my dues in that. Oh. So I put my background, and we did a lot of things. We were interviewed. I did have my 5 minutes of fame on national television, not 15, but 5. And they were here all day to film that 5 minutes. And I will never, ever look at a television show again to see how it's produced. It's just amazing. We had, you know, like 20 people running around and going, silence. We had to move the dog because the dog was barking even down the basement. It was interfering. A plane would go over. They would say, halt, cut. Just like the movies.
Well, we're a little bit more forgiving and flexible. And I have learned that in so many of my backyard and front yard and side yard interviews that I've done with people, the place that they're the most comfortable, there just happens to be a lot of sounds that go over. And we have a plane go over, or if we have a dog bark, that's just part of the flavor of our interviews here on In the Garden.
And especially the birds. The birds are a big thing. When we were in Europe in those huge forests, there was no birds. And to me, that's what something's wrong, something's dead, nothing's alive. It's the birds. It's really the birds, even though we get mad at them for doing poopy things on some of our things. But it truly is the birds. And we are in one of the main flight paths. So we often say, hi there, pilot, you know. And every time I'm in the plane, I try to, are they going to fly over my place? So, yeah, it's all the sound. And, yeah, it's great.
Well, you know, the outdoors is the best part of my my life. I have always lamented about the winter white and the, you know, dormancy of that. And spring is really where I come alive. So I'm glad to be outdoors. We're standing here in a beautiful shaded area, and Bea is telling me about the wonderful history of this farm and some of her gardening prowess. And let's get back to some of your writing that you were so inspired by some of the things that you were growing that you just took to the publications. And tell us about that first job, that first that column that you thought, I need to share this with someone.
Yes, we'll start back with my high school years in central Minnesota. I was told I had no skills artistically. I was told I didn't have any writing skills. I could never speak in public, and probably a few other things. The first time I got a $25 check, I just wanted to go show that nun that I did $25 worth. And this was like way back when $25 really was $25. And I noticed as at Farm Market, I thought the paper, you know, back in time when we had our good old paper, there was nothing about gardening. We had 60 million pages of sports. So I wrote a note to the paper, the manager of the paper, and said, well, why don't you get someone to write an article about gardening every once in a while? Because there's a lot of demand for that. And I didn't hear from back from him, and I thought, oh, he's going to, no. And the next year he calls, you know, I'm calling about that article that you talked about. I said, oh, who did you get to do that? And he says, well, why don't you send me a few words? And that's his phase. Send me a few words. That was our total contract, our total discussion. So I sent him a few words, and it was probably a little more like 500 words. I introduced myself a little bit, gave them a little bit about the background. And then I thought, oh, did he just want me to write one article? And he didn't say anything. Now, this was also back just at the beginning of the computer age, too, so it made a little bit of difference. And I thought, he didn't say, should I send in another one? If he publishes it, fine. If not, I'll know it's over with. And then he didn't say anything, and I kept sending him in and kept sending him in. After about 3 years, I asked maybe if he would give me a little bit of money to pay for the paper. But by that time, I was pretty well launched. And then I was the bee in the garden. And I think I did 465 articles with that. And then I missed 1 week the beat when we changed over to the Hastings Journal. And I've just completed 113th edition of Bee, the Spelling Bee. We got a little bit less in the gardening because I was finding most of my readers were not gardeners, but we still want to keep in everybody to do it. And it's been a total joy. It's my solid focus in my life to get it done on Sunday. So I'm a kind of this foo-foo brain person. My husband was the one with this little very linear line. My daughter, fortunately, has both of those skills. So we did very well with that. So from being told I was never going to write, to writing and enjoying and meeting all you wonderful people, my loyal readers. It's just amazing who I meet, and it just gives me great joy to share my information.
People have so many gardening stories, and that's the thing that I started with. And I went to the owner of KDWA and I said, have you ever done a gardening show? And I got much the same response. Well, I'm not really sure if anybody would be interested in
exactly,
that. And
exactly.
This is our sixth year. We are finding that people are interested in the garden. But as you said, there's a lot of more things to gardening than just growing things. And you've incorporated art. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. You know, from having no art talent someplace along the line, it also creeped out too. And I have an eye for color, I'm told, and I just see things and they just mean things to me. You know, the one thing like modern art, I could never understand why anybody saw any beauty in that. Like, how the heck if it's not a real picture? But I've really come a long ways to see different objects and things. When they speak to you in a certain way, and if they've never spoke to you, that's fine, because obviously
Maybe you're not listening,
or maybe you're not quite ready. The other thing is you have to wait for the right piece to come along to do things. For instance, one of my unfortunate things that happened was my double car garage with my screaming yellow collector Mustang inside, and my husband's shop went up in flames. During the hauling everything out, we started the artist pile for Dale Lewis, and also a huge artist pile for myself. So They're saying, oh, B, what are you going to do with that? I said, I don't know, but it's important. I'm going to keep it. So it's just like that, like picking up things from, unusual things. Everybody else would have pitched them, and I just kind of see different things and stick them in the garden.
Well, the phoenix rises from the ashes.
Yes, exactly. Yes, you know where she caught? One of my unfortunate things was that somebody firebombed my yellow rabbit Volkswagen at the end of the driveway right after 4th of July. I guess they needed more fire. And I was so upset. I was just going to tell my neighbor Tony, just bulldoze the whole thing. And this wonderful fire chief of Hastings, thank you, he said, oh no, B, embrace it. It's your ghost car. And you should see it now. It is really weathering beautiful. Almost all the flowers made it through the fire. I pruned and I watered and put down fertilizer, and they're coming back. So it was meant to stay. And that's kind of a fun thing like that, because people would come and take selfies and other things with it. And it was just fun for me to, otherwise a blah, uninteresting thing, and the car and other interesting things that we picked up. And that is also where the railroad used to be, that went from Hastings to St. Paul Park, I think, or mm-hmm. in that area there. And it ended in the 20s, and there was actually an electric train that went through. And that's why our house is oriented the way it is, because it faced the road that went through. And the front of the house, everybody says, they got your house backwards. I says, no, time got it backwards. Under my windmill, everything got dumped from the fire. Not everything. I mean, we had like four huge thingies of dumpsters went away and so forth. But everything was dumped under there. And up until a week ago, I called it my Beirut of Hastings, and I had to drive past it every day, and I still had to smell it a little bit. Smell is so important too. Mm-hmm. We could talk for hundreds of hours on smell. I have been cleaning and pruning, picking up glass, burnt. You can imagine how much it was under, just dumped. And I went and bought some flowers. I didn't think I was going to do it, but Hastings Farm Market girl, she had things for me. And I just come out now and just actually stand and look at it now, because I transplanted some things. And the secret, girls and men, ladies, if you are doing any transplanting at this time, which is probably the most no-no time of the year, you can do several things. If you can put a little bit of a shelter over it, but the other thing is water. Mm-hmm. And we're going to apply that to our pots too that we purchased. They're looking a little lame about now. Mm-hmm. So now we can do pruning and fertilize and water. Exactly. And you can save water a lot by, if you have a big hanging pot, put a tub underneath to collect that water and save it.
It goes right through.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It goes right through. And the fact that it's not even getting any place near your plant. So you've got to kind of keep dosing it. The mm-hmm. other thing, if you've got some big strong arms in your family, take them down and soak them in a tub. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you have that strong person to put them back up, you can probably get 2 to 3 to 4 days out of that big soaking. So that's one of my things at this time. Pruned, deadhead, and water.
It's been a privilege for me to stop out to your labor of love here. And we wish you much better times coming in the future. And look for us also. We're going to be featuring Bee on our Facebook page. Make sure you check out that. And we hopefully we'll have her invite us back again to speak more about her love of gardening. And we hope that you will join us again next Wednesday on In the Garden. I'm Kelly Casey. See you next week.
Pray.
So. Pulling weeds and picking stones. We are made.